Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Ksuba's
Should you
daf
turn
Zayin.
the recording on?
Oh, yeah, I gotta turn the recording on. Okay, I'm turning on like three different recordings right now because of
Okay, no
concerns.
problem. No problem. Sorry.
Thank you for the reminder. Here we go. Okay.
Recording in progress.
There we go. Today's daf is Ksuba's daf. Today we are learning Ksuba's daf Zayin. I think that's the nusach I'm going with as we're a daf ahead every day. Today we are learning Ksuba's daf Zayin. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, who is also sponsored anonymously Lizkus Rufo Shleima for Esther Bas Sara. She should have Rufo Shleima B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. Let me thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we left off at Davavam Beis at the bottom of the page at Masiv Rabbi Ami, and we're going to be continuing in further Rayos and Shitos about the sugya of Bia B'tchil B'Shabbos, having Bia for the first time on Shabbos, and we're going to branch out into discussing Yom Tov as well, and hopefully we'll arrive at a Psak, not hopefully, but Hashem will arrive at a Psak Halacha as far as Bia B'tchila, both B'Shabbos and B'Yom Tov is concerned. Then the Gemara is going to discuss Birchas Chasanim, meaning the idea of having Shavar Brachos. How many days do we have Shavar Brachos for? For how many days do we recite it if there's a Bachar that marries a Basula? What about a Bachar that marries an Almana? What about an Almon that marries a Basula? What about an Almon that marries an Almana? So we're going to discuss all the different possibilities of how many days of Bracha there are, how many days of Simcha there are. Then the Gemara is going to give us two possible sources on Amud Beis for the idea that we need a minyan in order to recite Birchas Chasanim. And then the Gemara is going to talk about where we say Birchas Chasanim, and then it's going to backtrack into the Birchas Erisin. Even though we start with Birchas Chasanim, which is the Shavar Brachos, we're going to go back to Birchas Erisin and discuss the text of the Bracha and exactly whether the Bracha should be whether it should be Messiah Bebaruch or not Messiah Bebaruch. So that will take us till the end of today's daf. So let's begin. We are holding on the bottom of the daf Vav and Beis. We are at Masav Rabbi Ami. So the Gemara again is still trying to ask a kasha from a Mishnah on the Shita that holds that you're not allowed to have Bia for the first time in Shabbos. So Masav Rabbi Ami, we have a Mishnah, Mesech Seduyos in the second parak, Hamapis, more so if a person pops a pimple, B'Shabbos. Im Lasos Tlepeh, if his kavana is to make an opening in his skin in order to remove all of the pus from the pimple and allow air to enter into that space, then Chayiv, then he's Chayiv Mishum Bona, because he was Mesakein a Pesach. And we do find that the Rashi points out that there is such a thing as binyan when it comes to Balei Chayim, when it comes to living beings like a person, because the Pasuk says, Vayivan Hashem Elokim Esatzela, that when Hashem fashioned Chava, he uses a Lashon of binyan, of Vayivan, that Hashem built Chava from Adam's rib. The Rambam, however, in Perek Yud of Halach Tazayin of Hilchos Shabbos, writes that the Isser is not Bona, but one of Makabe Patish, that would be the prohibition. So either way, if the intention is when he pops a pimple to make an opening, then he's going to be chayiv him lotzi menalecha. But if he's not interested in the opening, he just wants to remove whatever pus there is, then pater, then he's going to be pater. And over here, pater means pater umutter. So the Gemara Mesecha Shabbos tells us that even though normally when we have the word pater in Hilchos Shabbos, it always means pater aval aser midrabanan, over here it means pater umutter by Mappas Morsa. So even though even Rabbi Shimon, who paters Mlach Shein Sricha L'Gufa, is moda that a Mlach Shein Sricha L'Gufa is asa midrabanan, and L'chora, that's what this is a Mlach Shein Sricha L'Gufa, Rashi writes in Mesecha Shabbos and Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, and Tosos writes as well that Mappas Morsa, the Rabbanan were matir entirely because of Tsar. The Aruch would say more simply that this is a Davar Shein Miskaven, and it's a Psik Reshe, yes, but it's a Psik Reshe de Lo Nichalei, and the Aruch holds, like we learned yesterday, that a Psik Reshe de Lo Nichalei is Mutter. So be that as it may, however you get there, the word Pater over here means Mutter, because it's Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and there's Tsar, or because it's a Psik Reshe de Lo Nichalei, so it's considered to be Mutter, because the whole purpose of making the Pesach is only to remove the pus, and such a Pesach is only momentary. There's no Isser of Bonus. So asks Rabbi Ami, a Mappis Morsa, aside from Esiyas HaPesach, you're also causing yourself to bleed. There's some blood in the pimple as well. well. And nevertheless, we say that as long as your intention is only to remove the pas, it's going to be mutter. And it's not a violation of chovel, because the dam is mifkat pocket. It's there, hiding behind the, you know, it's stored up in the pimple under the makkah. It's not attached to the body. It's not caught up in the skin. So from there we learn that dam besulim is also not mechubar to the guf. It's mifkat pocket under the behind the besulim. So that should, it's, there's no sort of chavala and causing it to come out. So this is a kasha and Shmuel. So says that you're not allowed to be boel a besulim and Shabbos because of an isra of chovel. L'chor, it's the same thing over here. So it says, no, the metzius of the two is not the same. The blood by a basula is not set up in the same way as the blood by a pimple. Hasam pocket v'akir. When it comes to the pimple, it's stored up, but it's totally detached from any skin. Hacha pocket v'loakir. Over here, it's stored up, but it's some. It's not totally awkward from the body. It's absorbed somewhat into the skin, and therefore it's more similar to that which is mechubar. That's how Rashi explains. The Ritva adds that according to that, the whole issur is only midrabanan because it's domel l'mechubar. But midaraisa would not be an issur because it's not really mechubar, it's just domel l'mechubar. However, Tosfos understands that the answer of the Gemara is that it really means chiburi michbar. So the Rishonim just asked that the Lashon of the Gemara doesn't sound that way because the Gemara should have said chiburi michbar. It doesn't say that. It says pakid velo akir, which sounds like it's within tam mifkad pakid. Okay, so now the Gemara gets down to it in terms of practical halacha. Can one have bia for the first time in Shabbos? So Rabbi Ami shara the middle b'tchil b'Shabbos. He was matir having bia for the first time in Shabbos. Amalei Rabbanu v'lo k'siv k'subasa. What do you mean? Whenever you get married, you have to write a k'suba, and you're not allowed to be bowl without a k'suba. It's going to be like it's considered to be a bias nos. So you can't be. How could you be matir to have bia for the first time in Shabbos? You're not able to write a k'suba at that point. Amalehu et fesua metaltalin. Said no problem. Just give her metaltalin that she can hang on to that belongs to the chasan, and that will be like a mashkon for a k'suba. And that's ki'ilu, she's already collected a k'suba, and therefore there's no violation of being boel without a k'suba. The Rishonim ask, but what do you mean? Even doing that, l'chora should be aser, because you're not allowed to make kinyonim on Shabbos. So how can you be makna her a mashkon? So several answers in the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim suggest that he's not makna her the metaltalin with a full-fledged kinyon. He just is miyachid a makom, a particular space where this stuff is, and he says, you should know that stuff is there for you. And in that level, she has smichas das, she's comfortable with it, and therefore it's ki'ilu, she has a ksuba. Others suggest that the issue of making a kinyan is only an issue drabanan, and for such a tzorech, they were makil on that issue midrabanan. They were matir, whereas other rishonim suggest that we're talking over here where it's Erev Shabbos. There just wasn't enough time to write a ksuba, but there's always enough time, if it's just even a few seconds before Shabbos, to be makneher some metaltalin. So in that way, they were makna the metaltalin, and therefore it's not a violation of having bia without a ksuba. The Rishonim also ask a different question that the Mishnah we're going to have later in this Masechta on Daf Pei says that you're not supposed to pay a ksuba sisha b'metaltalin because it has to be nechasim meshubadim, and metaltalim are not meshubad. So Tosos suggests on Daf Nuvav and Beis that over here we're talking about where the husband was mekabel achrayus, that if they get lost or if they go down in value, he's going to come up with the money from somewhere else. The Rashba and the Ritva suggest that l'tzarech sha'a you're allowed to designate metaltalin for the ksuba. I remember when one time when Hurricane Sandy hit and a lot of people lost their ksubas, and they just realized that it just occurred to them on Friday afternoon that they lost their ksuba. So if I recall, they asked Rabbi Bleich. Some people asked Rabbi Bleich what to do. Rabbi Bleich said, "Be matfis or metaltalin." In the meantime, there's a Ferish of Gemara that if you don't have a ksuba, you're matfis metaltalin. In the meantime, to pay to be considered as if it's a ksuba. And then they can continue to live together, and then after Shabbos they'll be able to write a new ksuba. Rav Zvid shara the mivl b'tchil b'Shabbos. Rav Zvid was matir having beer for the first time in Shabbos. Ikadam Rav Zvid gufei followed b'tchil b'Shabbos. Some say that Rav Zvid wasn't just matir it; he himself was boel for the first time on Shabbos. So now the Gemara transitions a little bit into Hilchos Yom Tov. Now the primary difference between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Yom Tov is that you're allowed to do meleches ochal nefesh on Yom Tov. The Torah tells us, Ach asher yeyachel l'chol nefesh hu levado ye oseh lachem. So Chazal learned from there that in Yom Tov, any malach that's for the sake of ochel nefesh is permissible. However, there is a machlokas Beisham Beisilel in Meseches Beitza that Beishamai holds that it's only those malachos that are directly ochel nefesh that are mutter. Whereas Beisilel holds a principle called mitoch, that mitoch shutra malachos letzorech ochel nefesh utrunami shalol letzorech ochel nefesh. That any malacha that you're allowed to do for the sake of ochel nefesh, you're also allowed to do when it's not for the sake of ochel nefesh. So says Gemara Rabbi Yehuda, Shalom Evel B'tchil B'Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda was matir having beer for the first time in Yom Tov. So Amar Papi Mishrei Rav Lo Tema B'Yom Tov Shari HaBeShabbos Aser. Whenever you see a din that's phrased as a Hilchos Yom Tov din, you always think that this is going to relate to ochel nefesh or to mitoch or something like that. So he says, so the natural reaction is, oh, he allows beer for the first time in Yom Tov. That must mean that it's only Yom Tov and not Shabbos. So it says, well, no, don't say that. Really, it's mutter on Shabbos also. It just happens to be that the case that came up was a Hilchos Yom Tov. It was a case of a couple that had gotten married just before Yom Tov. So he was asked, can they have beer for the first time in Yom Tov? And that's what he paskin. Rav Papa made the Rava Amar, be Yom Tov Shari, be Shabbos Aser. But Rav Papa says, no, it's precise that it's only on Yom Tov that it's mutter, but on Shabbos it's going to be Aser to have beer for the first time. So Amalei Rav Papi, Rav Papa, my daiteich, what is the svara to be mechalek that on Shabbos should be Aser and Yom Tov to be mutter? What? Mitoch shrutr chabur letzorech, hutter nami shalom letzorech. You want to tell me, since we're holding like Beisilah, which is certainly reasonable, that we apply the principle of mitoch, and since you're allowed to make a wound letzorech ochel nefesh, you're allowed to shecht an animal in Yom Tov, so you're allowed to make a wound shalom letzorech ochel nefesh to have bia elameata. But if that's the case, mutalasos mugmar b'Yom Tov, then why shouldn't you be allowed to make mugmar, which is a burning of some type of incense that causes that has a particular fragrance on Yom Tov? The mitoch shulter aval letzorech, because after all, you're allowed to get a fire going on Yom Tov, assuming it's from an existing flame. You're allowed to do havara on Yom Tov for the sake of cooking. So it's an amishalal letzorech. So it should be mutter even not letzorech ochel nefesh, like mugmar. So maybe you're allowed to make mugmar on Yom Tov, but no, there's a Mishnah in Meseches Beitza, which the Rishonim referred to as Meseches Yom Tov, because it's all about Hilchos Yom Tov. There's a Mishnah, Meseches Beitza, that says that you're not allowed to make Mugmar on Yom Tov. So that's what the Gemara is asking, that you're going to tell me that you're allowed to do Chavala on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos, because of Mitoch, so then you should be allowed to do Mugmar as well. So the Gemara is a little bothered, Tosfos is a little bothered by the Gemara's line of questioning over here, because the Gemara had said that Rav Papi says that there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's why he's bothered by this distinction that we're making about Bia. So what, does Rav Papi not hold of the principle of Mitoch? Meaning he's not really attacking the particular issue of Chabura, of Bia B'tchila. He's really questioning the whole concept of Mitoch. He's saying, if you're going to tell me that there's a principle of Mitoch, then you should be allowed to make Mugmar. So that's really, but it's a Mishnah Mufuresh, as the Beisilah holds of Mitoch. So why would Rav Papi ask this kasha on Rav Papa? He should have asked it Stam. Why are you allowed to make Mugmar? So Tosfos has a few answers, other Rishonim have other answers, but be that as it may, let's assume he's asking this question: why are you allowed to make Mugmar? Why don't we apply the principle of Mitoch? So Amalei, Rav Papa responds, Alecha Makra, it's about that kind of question that the Torah directly addresses. Ach asher ye ochel l'chol nefesh, that on Yom Tov you're allowed to do malachos that are dover hashava l'chol nefesh, that are things that are universally enjoyed by people, and having a bia is dover hashava l'chol nefesh. But making mugmar, many people don't even enjoy the smell of it. They find it very annoying, and it's not something that's an acquired taste. It's only from a funakim. It's not something that's shava l'chol nefesh. So I'm Rav Acha b'Rav Rav Rav. Oh, really? So the only things that we're going to apply mitoch to are things that are universally enjoyed. Then if you have a rare kind of meat, like venison, so since many people never get to enjoy that, we should say that it's not a davar hashav l'kol nefesh, and you're not allowed to shecht the deer on Yom Tov. But we know that that's not true. You are allowed to shecht the deer on Yom Tov. So apparently, this rule that we only apply mitoch to things that are shav l'kol nefesh is not entirely true. So he said, no, there's a big difference between mugmar on the one hand and venison on the other hand. Mugmar, he says, another vrat sorech l'kol nefesh kamina. Tzvi sorech l'kol nefesh. There's a difference between that which is not universally available and that which is not universally enjoyed. Meaning tzvi is something that everybody who could afford it would love it. It's a delicious meat. There's no reason not to have it. It's just that a lot of people can't afford it. It's not so readily available. I would imagine it's more readily available up here in camp. Every time I drive, there are plenty of tzvis all around, but I guess they're not so easy to catch. But when it comes to mugmar, mugmar is something that even if people had it available, they would say, that's gross. It's like a fine cigar. And no cigar is fine, if you ask me. They're all disgusting. They all smell awful to me. So it's so if it's something that's not universally enjoyed, then it's it's not included in the category of Shavu L'Kol Nefesh. And I mentioned the cigar because this is the major sugi about smoking on Yom Tov, right? What's the heter? Was smoking ever something that was Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, right? The svara is that because you're allowed to do avar L'Tzorach L'Kol Nefesh, you could do Shalol L'Tzorach L'Kol Nefesh. So the svara that's quoted by the Korban Nisanel and by some of the other poskim is that the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos tells us that anything that's for the sake of medicinal purposes, anything that has medicinal value, is going to be automatically Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, even though many people don't need that medicine. So the assumption was that smoking was very healthy. It cleared your lungs and it took care of your appetite, so it satiated you. And they assumed, meaning if you look at someone who's addicted to nicotine right before they have a cigarette and right after they have a cigarette, you'd also get the impression that it's very healthy. The person is going out of their mind, they're shaky, they're whatever, and then all of a sudden they have a cigarette and everything's okay. So they assumed it must be a very healthy thing. So as something that's healthy, so for years people assumed that this would fit in the category of mitoch, and you're therefore allowed to smoke on Yom Tov. L'chora, it's a davar pashut, that nowadays, now that we know what we know, and that it has very negative medicinal value, it would not be at all Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, and especially since, thank God, the number of smokers has gone down, although also not so much in the country when I go to Woodridge and other places, you see a lot more smoking than I ever see around the Five Towns. But I'm not sure. I guess everyone's vaping in the Five Towns. I don't know. But I shouldn't say things like that. But it's certainly not Shavu L'Kol Nefesh. So l'chora, it's an issur d'oraisa to smoke a cigarette on Yom Tov. That l'chora is us. And one time, my wife was. We sometimes either us or our cross street neighbors forget to light a candle, you know, a yahrzeit candle before Yom Tov, every single Yom Tov. So one time it was our turn to forget, so my wife was getting a light from across the street, and as she was walking by, a group of men was walking by, and my wife is a friendly lady, so she always just makes conversation, so she jokingly said, "Hey guys, want a light?" And one of them said, "Oh yeah, great," and he takes out a cigarette, and lights a cigarette for her. My wife was like, what did I just do? So it was a lift the email. She had no idea, she was just joking around. Okay, so anyway, Rabbi Yaakov Maridi, Hor Rabbi Yaakov Mitzaydan, also live with Chil B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan issued a hora that it's asr to be for the first time at Shabbos. So, frankly, Gemara Mika hora liyisur. Hora implies that there's you need confidence to give such a psak because it's a big deal and there's something behind this psak. Normally, a heter needs a hora. Isur, anyone could just say something's asr when you're playing it safe. If you don't know anything, you say something's asr. So, do we ever have such a lotion of hora for isur? Does it ever take confidence to say in Isser? So says Mara in. Yeah, we do have a hora for Isser. Vatnan, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Nazir, that if a person, let's say, takes upon himself Nazirus outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he finishes his period of Nazirus, and then he comes into Eretz Yisrael, so Beishamai says that he has to be a Nazir again for 30 days, but Beisil says, no, however long his original Nazirus was, he's got to start it again. And the Gemara tells the story of Helania Malka, whose son went out to war, and she said, if my son comes back safely, I'm going to be a Nazira for 7 years. And she did all 7 years of Nazirus in Chutz Laaretz, and then she came to Eretz Yisrael, Haruha Beis Hillel Shetei Nazira Od Sheva Shanim Acheros. And Beis Hillel issued a Hora'ah that she needs 7 more years of Nazirus. A Hora'ah that it's 7 more years of Nazirus. So that's a Hora'ah L'chumra. Rav Moshe writes in Arachayim Chelkesim Lamed Zayin that you have a Hora'ah L'Isser when it comes from a Raya or a Svara Brura, meaning a Hora'ah implies that it took some knowledge and some confidence to say it. So a Hora'ah L'Isser is also Shaykh if it takes a lot of knowledge and confidence to say it. So to tell a Malka that she needs 7 more years in the Zeros, that requires confidence, and you need a Raya Brura, because she might question it. We know Mehechitesi that I have to be in the Zira for another 7 years. Or we have another case where we have a Ra'a Le'isr Ki Haditanya Chuta Shidra Shenifsek Berubam. Now, if the spinal column of behema is mostly severed, then the animal's a trefa. Divrei Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, afilu nikev. Even if it just has a puncture in it, the animal's a trefa. Hora Rebbe, k'Rabbi Yaakov. And Rebbe was mora, a hora'a, l'chumra, like Rabbi Yaakov. So that's another example of a Mishnah where hora'a is used in the context of Isra. Shidim Gvetza says, why do I need two examples? So he says, the first one was a hora'a to a malka, so it's mistaken. That had she not been a malka, the Basil would not have been machmir for no reason. But it's not a raya that even a hora'a that's more general l'chumra that it could be called a hora'a. So therefore, we come up with a case that has nothing to do with the malka. It's just a more general case of halachos of trefos. So once we mention this machlokas, Rabbi and Rabbi Yaakov, the Gemara tells us what the halacha is in that case also. So Rav Huna in halach Rabbi Yaakov, we don't pass on like Rabbi Yaakov. We instead paskin like Rebbe that lekula that a small hole is not going to make the animal a trefa. So now Rav Nachman is going to say hachi that Amar Rabbi Yavoshua Shol Rabbi Shmuel ben Yaakov de Mintzor es Rabbi Yochem et Zaydon va'anoshami ma'hu livol b'tchil b'shalis. Said I overheard this conversation where Rabbi Yishmael ben Yaakov de Mintzor asked Rabbi Yochanan in Zaydon, are you allowed to be for the first time at Shabbos? Amar lei Aser, and Rabbi Yochanan said that it's Aser. V'hilchusa mutter livol b'tchil b'shabbos, but the halach is that it in fact is mutter to have bia for the first time in Shabbos. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruchaim, Sim Reish Pei, Sif Beis, and in Ebenezer, Sim Samu Gimel, Sif Aleph, it says that it is mutter to have bia for the first time in Shabbos. Now, why is it mutter to have bia for the first time in Shabbos? So that's questionable. I mean, there are so many different reasons that it could be. It could be because even though you're having kavanah with your bia to make a chabura or to make a pesach, but it's considered mekalkel. And the Tzarech Mitzvah, Mekalka becomes Mutter even L'chadchila. Or it could be that it's Dam Mifkad Pakid and there's no Isra of Chovel, and since the Isra is only because of the Pesach, it's a Mlach Shein Tzrich L'gufa, and B'makom Mitzvah, the Rabban were Matir Mlach Shein Tzrich L'gufa. Or it could be that it's a Dabar Shein Miskabein, and it's not a Pesach Reshe, because there are some people that know how to be Bol Ba'ataya. Or it could be that a Baki Ba'ataya is allowed to be Bol B'chil B'Shabbos, but someone who's not a Baki Ba'ataya is also to have for the first time in Shabbos. So we know what the answer is, we're just not sure why the answer is, because we had all these possibilities all along the way. So you'll find Rishonim that say pretty much every possibility as to why you're allowed to be of the first time in Shabbos. So now we move into the sugi of Birchas Chasanim. Amar Bichab Amar Ravunam Rabbi Abba Barziv Amar Rav Achas Besula V'Achas Almana Tuna Bracha. Both the Besula and an Almana require Birchas Chasanim that they say at the time of the Nisuin. Umi Amar Ravuna Hachi. Does Ravuna say you make Birchas Chasanim by an Almana? V'Am Ravuna Almana Ena Tuna Bracha. Didn't Ravuna himself teach us that an Almana does not require bracha? Says Malo Kasha. Kan be bachur shenas almana, kan be almon shenas almana. If it's a bachur that's marrying an almana, there is birchas nisuin. If it's an almon that marries an almana, there's no birchas nisuin. Ask the Gemara of almon shenas almana. Lo, really, when an almon marries an almana, there's no birchas nisuin. From Rav Nachman, Rav Lihuna Bar Nosan Tana, we learned in Maseches Kala, minayin the birchas chasanim ba'asara. How do I know you need a minion for birchas chasanim? Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Megillas Rus, when it comes to Boaz and Rus, vayika chasara anoshim yizikne yer veyemush. That he gathered Ziknei Yair together, he gathered 10 people together, he gathered a minion together. Why did he need a minion? Presumably for Birchas Nisuin. And yet, Boaz Almon Shnas Almana Haba. Boaz was an Almon who is marrying an Almana. So an Almon marrying an Almana, and you see that you need 10 people for Birchas Nisuin. So how can you tell me that when an Almon marries an Almana, you don't need 10 people for Birchas Nisuin? Tosus brings a riot from here that a woman who's a Bu'ula, who's not an Almana, has the same din as an almana, because Rus at the time Rus was married to Machlon, she was a nachris, so she didn't really have a din of an almana. An almana is someone who's nisalmana from her husband who she was married to Kedash Moshe of Israel, but she was not married Kedash Moshe of Israel to Machlon. It was a marriage of nachrim, so she would just have her din of a regular buula. She would not have a din of an almana. Elamai, you see that a buula and an almana is the same thing as far as these halachas are concerned. So anyway, you see by Nisui Almon with an Almana, there were Mesakim Birchas Chasanim. There is a machlok Birchas Rishonim, whether Birchas Erusin also requires Asara, or only Birchas Chasanim. But anyway, we'll get to Birchas Erusin later. So the Gemara answers, no, really, I'll tell you, by Nisun of an Alman with an Almana, there is Birchas Chasanim. Like you said, Boaz got together a minion to make Birchas Chasanim. My Einatuna Bracha Dam Rav Huna, Einatuna Bracha Kol Shiva, Avli Yomecha Tuna Bracha. When we said Einatuna Bracha, it just means you don't need 7 days of Bracha. But you do need Bracha for 1 day. Elohad HaDetanya asked the that's the case, that which the Brisa says, that the reason they were Mesakin, Alman who gets married on Yom HaChamishi, is because Shaktu Cham Al Tachanus Benos Yisrael, Shei Samechi Mashlosh Yam, because the Cham were so concerned for the Benos Yisrael that the husband should stay with her on the day they get married in the next couple of days. So on Yom HaChamishi, he's not going to leave her because it's the day of the Chuppah, and Yom Shishi, there's the day of Chibas Bia, and then Shabbos is Shabbos, so he has no work to go to. So that way, he'll be with her for 3 days. Well, B'man, when do you ever need 3 days? When do the Chacham ever need to be Mesakein to ensure that there are 3 days? If it's a Bachar that's marrying an Almana, shouldn't they have been Mesakein something to make sure he stays with her for 7 days? Because isn't there 7 days of Bracha? If it's an Alman that marries an Almana, what do you need to be make sure that he's there for 3 days? They only require 1 day. So in what context would we ever have had to make a Takana for the Benos Yisrael to make sure that the Almana gets 3 days? The Almana is either going to get 1 day, or if it's a Bachar that's marrying an Almana, would get 7 days. So it says Mari Iba Yisema Ba Almon, Yomechel the Brachu Shloshul Simcha. One possibility that it's an Almon that's marrying an Almana, and you're right, it's only 1 day of Bracha. But Bracha and Simcha are not the same. It's 1 day of Bracha, but it's 7 days of Simcha. Viba Yisema Ba Bachur, Shiva the Brachu Shloshul Simcha. We might be talking about a Bachur, and there are 7 days of Bracha and 3 days of Simcha. Shitim Gvetz's quotes from Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah that even during the Yimei Bracha, which are not Yimei Simcha, you should still have su'udos in order to be mevarech birchas chasanim, meaning the bracha is, it may not be days of full-fledged simcha, but you still have su'udos because there is the concept of bracha. However, in the Sefer Yad David of David al-Karliner in Hilchos Yishus Paragir al-Lachay says that it's not Yimei Simcha, and therefore there's no need to make a su'uda. So what does it mean that there's bracha? It means that if you happen to have a su'uda and there's Parim Chadashos and there's a minyan, then you recite the brachas, but there's no motivation to go out of your way to try to make the su'uda. Some of the Rishonim understand that both of these answers are not mutually exclusive, that they fit with each other, that it's all true, that an Almon that marries an Almana gets 1 day of Bracha, 3 days of Simcha, whereas a Bachar that marries an Almana gets 7 days of Bracha and 3 days of Simcha, whereas other Rishonim say, no, these are two separate answers. So anyway, it turns out that an Almana that gets married gets 3 days of Simcha, regardless of who the husband is. But as far as Bracha is concerned, there's a chilek between a bachur and an almon that marries an almana. So now Meisve, the Gemara asks on the Maskana, we said that a bachur that marries an almana gets birchas chasan for all 7 days. If he's a bachur that's marrying an almana, Meisve, mevarch le besula shivul almana yom echad, that there's 7 days of bracha for a besula and 1 day for an almana. My lava filu almana shnisis le bachur. Doesn't that mean that even an almana that marries a bachur gets 1 day only? So says, well, no, the almon. No, it's talking about an almon that marries an almana. Avul bachur mai, but what would the halacha be if a bachur marries an almana? Shiva, that would be 7 days. Ihachi, if that were the case, listening to Varkon Lebesul the Shiva, Ulalman Shisis Lebachur Shiva, Ulalman Yamechad. It should have spelled that out. It should have said that a Besula gets 7 days, an almana, depending on who she, the almana that marries a bachur gets 7 days, and an almana that marries an almon gets 1 day. So it says, Mar Milsa Psikta Ketani. We don't want to go through all the details. We just want to go through things that are absolute statements. The lack of Besula of the Batsum Shiva. One thing we know absolutely, there's never a Besula gets married that gets less than 7 days of Bracha. But like Almana, the Batsum Yom Echad, and there's never an Almana that gets married that gets less than 1 day of Bracha. Sometimes they'll get more, but it's never less. So we go with absolutes. Gufa. So now we go back to the discussion of requiring a minion for the Birchas Chasanim. Amar of Nachman, Amar li Huna Bar Nosan, Tana minayin the Birchas Chasanim Basara. How do I know that you need a minion for Birchas Chasanim? How do I know you need a minion to recite the Shavar Brachos? Shenemar, Vayika Chasara Anashim Yiziknei Ha'ir Vayomer Shvu Po. So Boaz gathered together 10 people. So presumably that was for Birchas Chasanim. Rabbi Avo asked from a different source. Pasuk says, "B'makelos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem mimekar Yisrael." That on the brachos of the makar, you need a kahal. Birchas Chasanim, which is where mevarich about Piri Verivia, which is the makar of the isha, requires makelos, requires a kahal, and a kahal is always a minion. So that's how I know that you need a minion for the birchas nisuin. Rav Nachman Baikrad Rav my Darish Bay. What's Rav Nachman going to do with the pasuk of Makelos that Rabbi Avohu brought? So by the Chetanya, he'll say, "Nah, I don't need that pasuk. Tell me that you have a minion for Birchas Nisuin. I use it for the following brisa that I read Meir Omer Minayin Shafilu Ubrim Shebemeiman Amru Shira Alayam. How do I know that even a fetus in the mother's womb would say Shira by Kriyas Yamsuf? Shnemar Makelos Baruch Elokim Hashem Mimekar Yisrael. That it teaches us that even the tinokos that were in the mother's womb, that's called the makar, we're blessing Hashem, we're singing Shira. So that's what I learned from that pasuk. Not a din that you need a minyan, which is somewhat curious. I remember Rabbi Razan pointed out to me that when do we ever have that? That there's a halachic source. So he said, no, I already used that source to teach me an agadic teaching. So what? You could teach all sorts of drushes in agadita from the same pasuk from which you derive a halacha. What does one got to do with the other? Meaning, how do you say that I can't use that for the halacha because I'm already using it for some other teaching for an agadita? I never came across a really great answer for that question. V'idach and Rabbi Avohu darshan the pasuk of Makelos that Birchas Chasanim needs a minyan. Im kain, if the pasuk says the pasuk of Makelos was only about the children singing shir, the pasuk could have used the word mibeten. My mimakar al iske makar. When it says mimakar, it must be telling me something additional that it's about nisuin. Rabbi Avo, my brother of Nachum, my darish bay. What does Rabbi Avo do with the pasuk by Boaz? Isn't that a clear and direct source that you need a minyan for birchas nisuin? So mibayle the midrash amoni v'lamonus ma'aviv v'lamoavis. No, the reason Boaz was gathering a minyan together was to hold a drasha. He wanted everyone to know amoni v'lamonus. That even though there's a restriction that we're not allowed to marry people from Ammon and Moab, that's only males from Ammon and Moab, but females from Ammon and Moab are fair game. So Rabbi Avohu says that must be why Boaz gathered them together. Because if it was only for Birchas Chasanim, lo sagi delav zekenim, why do you need to gather Talmid Chacham together? Anyone can count toward a minion when it comes to Birchas Chasanim, right? You don't need to have zekenim together. So it must be, why did he have zekenim? Because he was teaching a Dvar Halacha. So he wanted to publicize to the Talmid Chachamim, the drasha of Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis. V'idach, and Rav Nachman will tell you, no, it must have been about Birchas Chasan, because Yisal Chodad Chumidros, Lo Sagid Lavasara, where do we ever find that? In order to have a shir, you need 10 people. You have anyone to teach Torah to, you have a shir. So just because he wants to give a drasha, it means that you need a minion? So it says, more in the Versumi Milsa. No, in that context, he actually did need a minion, because this was such a earth-shattering psak. He needed it to become famous. He needed people to be mefarsing this halacha. And if there are less than 10 people, then it's not going to be so mefarsome. Like Shmuel told Rav Chana from Baghdad, go get me 10 people so that I could tell you a halacha, a chiddush halacha in front of them in order to publicize it properly. And the chiddush halacha he wanted to teach is that if a person is mezaka matana through someone else on behalf of a fetus, that the fetus is able to be kona that matana. So that's a big chiddush. So he wanted to be mefarsim that chiddush, and therefore he needed 10 people. So the Bali Atosos point out that why does it work to be mezaka to an unborn child? Either because you could be makna something to a Dover Shalob Aliyolam, meaning you may not be able to be makna a Dover Shalob Aliyolam, something that doesn't exist yet, but if you're being makna something that does exist to somebody who doesn't exist, maybe that's okay. Or he holds that an Uber is considered Bali Olam because he's already there, he's already developing inside the mother, so perhaps he is considered to be Bali Olam. We happen to not pass him that way, so with all the publicizing that Shmuel wanted to do, we don't pass him that way. We pass him that a Mizakalu Uber is Lokana. But at the end of the day, we do see that you do require a minion for Birchas Chasanim. You need 10 people for Birchas Chasanim, and this is Halacha L'maisa. We never thought this would be Halacha L'maisa because normally you have hundreds of people. When you do Birchas Chasanim, you have a big wedding and people come. But during Corona, in its worst, when you couldn't even gather 10 people together. So this was a major shaila. Can couples just not get married? So there are poskim that say, right, couples just can't get married. You just have to wait until you can gather a minyan together. Others say that no, you just can't say the brachos. What, how do you get married without the brachos? You put the chasen and kala under a chuppah, they have yichud, you do all the normal things that we do about dekin, all the normal things that you would think are that the Rishonim say might be nisuin, you just can't say the brachos of the nisuin. So I mean, the maisa, every case I was involved with, even when you weren't allowed to have more than 10 people on a property, and obviously if you can't, if 10 is your limit on a single property, you're not going to have a minion, because the kala is one of the 10, right? So you're not going to have a minion. So what we always did was we did adjoining backyards. We had 10 people in one backyard, 10 people in the other backyard, and that was it. And we made some weddings like that, some very small, quaint, beautiful weddings. Sad weddings, because grandparents weren't able to come and things like that. But some couples got married in that way. So, but that's a serious halacha, that you need a minyan for Birkas Chasadim. Probably it's worthwhile to be machmir that a minyan should be able to hear the brachos also. Sometimes they say it so quietly that a minyan is not able to hear it. And there's a major question whether a microphone works. Is that called hearing the bracha when you only hear it through a microphone? So it's a discussion. You'll see some people when they some Masari Kiddushins, when the photographer sticks the microphone in front of their face, they'll move it away. They don't want to say the bracha through the microphone. Major discussion in poskim, not for right now. So Tav Rabban, Varkan Birkas Chasadim beBeis Chasadim, Rabbi Yudom Raf beis Eiris in Varkan Osa. That where do we say the Birkas Chasadim? At the time of the Nisuin, when he brings her into the chuppah, in the beis Chasadim. Rabbi Yudah says, even at the time of the Kiddushin, before he brings her into the chuppah, you can make the Birkas Chasadim. Amar Abayu beYehuda Shanu. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about in place of Yehuda, because in Yehuda they had the practice that they would have yichud together even in the Beis Eirusin. So since they were having yichud together, they would be mevarech the Birchas Chasanim even in the Beis Eirusin. The reason that they were knowing to have yichud during Eirusin in Yehuda is explained in the Yerushalmi, that when the Bnei Yaakov came for to burying Yaakov, Esav came to be ma'arer on the Makom HaKvura. So Yehuda got up and he killed him. And when Esav became stronger again, and when the children of Esav became stronger, there goes around Yehuda that any besula that gets married has to be boel l'srad yotchila, has to be boel to the officer first. So they would go to Dafka and Yehuda because they knew that Yehuda would be where Mashiach comes from. That's what the Shinuch Metzah quotes. So based on that, their minhag was to be Mashiachid the Chasan with the Arusa and to be Boel her, and then she won't be a Basula, so they'll be able to avoid the Gzeira in that way. The Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shinuch Metzah says that some say that he was not Boel her during that Yichud, but because of the Yichud, there was a great Chiba, there was a great love between them, and therefore when the Sradiot would come to be Boel her, she would be nevelis ba'onas. We'd be sure that it wasn't baratzon because they've already developed the relationship to the point that it was going to be that any bia with anybody else was going to be ba'onas. Tiny idach mivark birchas chasanim beis chasanim birchas eirusin beis eirusin. Another bryce says explicitly birchas chasanim is in beis chasanim, birchas eirusin is in the beis eirusin. Ooh, birchas eirusin, my mivarech. What is birchas eirusin? So Rabin Barav Ada v'Rabba Barav Ada Travayu Mishmed Rav Yuda Amri. They both said in the name of Yehuda, the bracha goes like this: Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedushonu Tzotzav Vitzivanu. So it sounds so far like a classic Birchas Mitzvah, but now it goes off the rails. Al Ha'arayos, that we have a mitzvah that there's an isser to do arayos. Va'asol Lenu Es Arusos, and there's an isser mitirabanan that we're not allowed to be with our arusos until we bring them into the chuppah, because the kala below bracha is asur lebay lekanida. V'hiter Lenu Es Nesuos al de chuppah v'kedushin, and he was matir for us those women that we are fully married to through chuppah v'kedushin. Ravach b'nedrav m'sayim b'mishayid reviyu the barak tzar mekadoshal l'aydei chuppah v'kedushin. He adds the siyum, the conclusion of the bracha as such. Mandelo chasum, the one who does not add that conclusion, midadav b'chsepes v'chsemitzah, says that it's like a regular short bracha that doesn't get a concluding baruch ato Hashem, just like birchas peros. You say baruch priyates, it's just one baruch ato Hashem, and b'chsemitzah when you make a bracha and tefillin or matzah or whatever, it's just one baruch ato Hashem. Umandu chasum midadav kedusha, the one that is chosim with a baruch says that it's more like kedusha, like kiddush hayom, where there's a chasima with a bracha as well. So there is a a major discussion. What in the world kind of bracha is this? The Rishonim all raised the question. We only find brachas on mitzvos. We don't find brachas on iser. We don't make a bracha when we do shechita. Asher asar lanu evir minachai vihitar lanu asar shachut. And furthermore, is isurei arayos. What does it have to do with birchas erisin? What does chuppah have to do with birchas erisin? So that's why the Rush and others assume that this is not a birchas mitzvah. This is a birchas shevach vahoda'a. Whereas the Rambam assumes that it in fact is a birchas hamitzvah. The Rishonim also raised the question, why does it say chuppah v'kiddushin? Doesn't kiddushin come before chuppah? So the she'iltos, taka has a girsa, al yidei kiddushin v'chuppah. He changes the girsa. The Bali Iter writes that he has a girsa al yidei chuppah b'kiddushin, with a beis. In fact, the Ran writes that that's probably what the girsa was, and it was a beis rafa. It was not a degusha, it was not a beis, it was a vase. It was chuppah v'kiddushin with a vase. And then people assumed when it was, because it was always said balpa, that it's chuppah v'kiddushin with a vav, and that ain't a chinami, it's out of order. The Rush says that it's just that people shouldn't make a mistake that kiddushin alone is matir the woman without chuppah. Because imagine if you only hear the first part of that. V'hitu lanuas and the suos alidei kiddushin. People are going to hear that, they're not going to hear that you said chuppah afterwards, and then they'll think kiddushin is enough to be matir. So they threw in chuppah first. Alidei chuppah v'kiddushin. So that even if you only hear the first word, at least you'll know that you have to wait until chuppah, until she's muteras. Okay, but tomorrow we'll continue in this discussion of the birchas chasanim. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
You as well.
Thank you.